This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show. Broadcasting live from El Tiempo Cantina on Washington as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Again, now will they go back to an off-speed pitch here? Fastball ripped back up the middle, a base hit. DuPont is in, getting the wave is Melton, and it's a 4-0 Astros lead. Carlos Correa adds a pair with two outs.
It is a Friday, got to get down on Friday at the, I would say, most important place in the city of Houston and the actual eighth wonder of the world. Destroy the Astrodome. Yeah, I said it. It's a dump. This poll that came out about people who want to save it, I guarantee you it came from the Astrodome Conservancy. Look that up. That is an actual job where these people just post ridiculous Photoshops that now they don't even need an artist to make. You can just go on artificial intelligence and have them make this preposterous plan that no one's going to pay for about how we're finally going to turn the Astrodome into this place that everyone goes to. I'm sorry, that part of town blows. It blows. Except for the new El Tiempo that's popping up there, and that's what's going to make this place a lot better. But for now, you know, outside of the El Tiempo in our NRG Stadium and the El Tiempo that's going to be in that greater area that's going to be replacing the Timmy Chans, no, okay? Astros back in the win column last night with a 7-2 win. God wills it. Jason Alexander, I don't know how the hell he keeps on cutting up clutch, but that's been the story of this year. The Astros pitchers who want to do well have not been doing their jobs of late, but randos that you've never heard of that you think are going to get the Blair Henley treatment if Joe George was still doing this show with me. Joe George is hanging out with me here at El Tiempo. Those guys have been stepping up this season and have done a really good job. So a shout-out to Jason Alexander. Jesus Sanchez gets 5 hits last night after a 10-game hitless streak. It's been a experience with Jesus Sanchez. I'm enjoying him. I'm not like that psychopath Milo's Microphone, who is a very fun barometer on how crazy Astros fans are. One game, kill everybody! Like, he wants them dead. Like, if he was a dictator in a third-world country, he would do what apparently Saddam Hussein did not do with the men's volleyball team per Eric the Driver. We were talking about this earlier in the week, like, hey, what country would you want to play for where a dictator's running the show and hope that you wouldn't get offed if your team didn't do so well? Apparently Saddam did not off the men's volleyball team for Iraq, which, by the way, I can't believe that exists. But anyway, sorry, bringing it back to where we're at right now. Jesus Sanchez stepped up, Christian Walker stepped up, Carlos Correa stepped up, Yadier Diaz had a home run along with Walker. So they get back in the win column, and if the Astros can pull off a 4-game sweep, I will go back to watching Astros games live before they play the New York Yankees at the very beginning of September, leading up to, of course, the first couple of games of the NFL slate. The next few games for the Astros, they are playing teams that they should beat all of, and to build on their American League West lead that should be larger than 2 games. They play the Rockies. They're playing the Orioles right now. They play the Angels. Come on, guys. And I'm hoping that this is the first step in a 4-game sweep. They get the 4-game sweep, I will get back on the bandwagon. Right now, I'm annoyed. Yeah, they're sleeping on the couch, Joe.
Yeah.
They're sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great the last couple of days before last night.
No.
It was not a wonderful time investment.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Now, Joe, I know you spend a lot of time watching your Chicago Cubs.
I do.
And we're about to do a special edition of Astros ER to talk about something that we just found out about Kyle Tucker. Now at the Cubs, soon to be a free agent. Apparently everyone in Chicago hates him.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Did the Cubs pull an Astros just a moment ago? It's time for Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
He don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Kyle Tucker injured his hand in early June, or was it July?
It was June.
It was June, okay. So, yesterday, this is really deja vu. Because I swear this happened last year with Kyle Tucker and the Astros. But Joe, this is what Kyle Tucker had to say about what he's been apparently dealing with and playing through for the last couple of weeks.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much it like really affected like my setup and like swing and everything. I mean, it didn't feel great at the time, but I mean, I just kind of dealt with it. And obviously, you just make adjustments to go out there and play. And you know, I'm sure other people have, you know, some things going on too that they just play with and make the adjustment with. So it's just kind of how things go.
A fracture in his finger. Joe George, who,
yeah,
you know, you know Houston sports, but you definitely know Chicago sports. Kyle Tucker has not had a very good last couple of months. Did the Cubs misdiagnose an injury in the same way the Astros misdiagnosed a fracture in his bone last year that was supposedly a deep bone bruise?
I'm not quite sure. I feel like they just hit it from the media. So Kyle Tucker's been hitting below 200 for the last month and a half.
Oof.
He sat out for three games.
Okay.
And then came back yesterday.
Right, and you told me something. What happened
Games? They played a five-game series with the Brewers.
Five games?
Yeah, because there was a rainout.
Okay.
They lost the first game of the series that Kyle Tucker played in. They won the next three games. They lost the last game of the series that Kyle Tucker played in.
So Kyle Tucker didn't play in the games that they won.
Yes.
But he played in the games that they lost.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So that's part of the reason why Cubs fans don't like him right now.
They hate him, right.
But what's weird about this one is that so he has a small hairline fracture in June.
Okay.
He hit 311 and hit five home runs in June.
Okay.
But he's hitting below 200 the last month and a half.
And it sounds like he's not making excuses for himself here, but it is crazy that all of a sudden the Cubs are admitting publicly.
Yeah.
It's Craig Counsell and who else? Like,
oh, Jed Hoyer.
Jed Hoyer.
GM, yeah.
They confirmed that he's dealing with a broken bone.
Yeah. It's strange. I mean, it's over the last like 2 weeks, Paul, I don't think I've seen Kyle Tucker have the ball leave the infield more than three times.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, it is the worst of Kyle Tucker I've ever seen. It is slow rollover to first base or second base almost every single at bat. It is putrid baseball.
So Cubs, this is really interesting. So is Cubs Tucker worse than playoff Astros Tucker?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think this is the worst Kyle Tucker's played since he was a rookie.
Damn.
When he was awful. So, yeah, I think this is it's not probably not too far off, to be honest with you. And maybe that's what the problem is. He doesn't have Yordan Alvarez to back him up, and that's why he's not good this year. Like, I've started to wonder, like, I wouldn't pay him $500 million the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, this has been one of the fascinating aspects of the Astros run. The guys who have left them, outside of Gerrit Cole, who has been amazing elsewhere.
Like, Springer's had moments.
But he gets
hurt.
But
he's been hurt, and he wasn't what he was here
Bregman's
in Toronto.
Bregman's been good with the Red Sox.
For sure. It's early.
Tucker, early on, looked pretty damn good with the Cubs. Now he's coming back to earth a little bit.
Correa was pretty good at times.
And he also started getting hurt. It's weird to get away from the Astros training staff. You'd think things would get better for you.
It hasn't. It almost like makes you feel bad about how mean we are to the Astros training staff. Because all these guys who get hurt all the time keep getting hurt elsewhere.
By the way, speaking of elsewhere, Yordan Alvarez is crushing it in Corpus Christi, and he needs to not be elsewhere, even if the Astros training staff theoretically is going to butcher him as soon as he gets here.
I got bad news for you.
What's that?
The Corpus Christi hooks.
Yordan?
No, he's playing today.
That's not illegal. Oh, he's playing again. Well, they released their lineup.
Now, it says subject to change without notice.
Okay.
Because it says, guess who's back again. Yordan Alvarez is scheduled to make a rehab appearance tonight, August 22nd.
Man.
Subject to change without notice.
Is this going
to
give, like, especially because he's hitting awesome, is this going to give the Corpus Christi hooks the kind of money that when I was early on in the radio game and I would work
80-hour weeks during the holidays, so I would get my extra overtime when I would not work, like, for most of the months of the year. Is this like that?
Get that extra attendance.
For a couple days. The hooks are just, yeah, they're, like, yeah, they're surge pricing with Yordan here.
Well, they don't get a lot of them. Most of that stuff goes to Sugarland now.
That's true. They've
missed out since the Space Cowboys became the Astros AAA affiliate. So you got to take advantage while you can.
That is Joe George. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Now we know what's going on with Kyle Tucker.
It's no point, no.
Well, hey, at least there's an excuse.
I guess.
Joe's on his locked on Chicago kick. Joe just needs some ammunition. He's a punching bag.
It's so funny. I tried to defend Kyle Tucker because he went through a bad slump earlier in the season too. And like I would be like, this Kyle Tucker guy sucks. I'm like, guys, hold on. Like, he's awesome. Like, I've seen him play a lot.
But now you're out.
And now I'm just like, I can't defend him. Like, I'm like ruining my reputation, whatever I have left of it. I'd be trying to defend this guy. He's bad.
Just when you thought you were out, though, he pulls you back in by being like an injured animal trying to get food.
Let's get a hit first, and then we can talk.
That is Joe George. Sean Mapes is back at Mission Control. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We got a bunch of questions lined up, so we'll get to some of those. And are these three things good or bad omen for your Houston Texans? It's the Paul Gallant Show live at LTMPO on Westheimer. Stay put.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from LTMPO Cantina on Washington as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday at maybe the most sacred place in all the land. Move over, Jerusalem. I'm at the LTMPO on Washington. Yeah, that's right, and you have a chance. Your last chance to register and win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric. $4,000 value for not one, but two. So we're wrapping up the summer circuit right here. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 975. A couple of Ask Alon Anything questions before we talk about what's going on with the Houston Texans. One, have you ever considered, asks one texter, that you watching the Astros was the reason they were losing? You just may be. Bad luck. I mean, first off, how dare you? Wow, that
was my fault.
Okay. I was about to say, like, is God smiting my word? First off, how dare you? Okay. Since I arrived in Houston, guess how many World Series the Astros have won? Two. Guess how many they have won while I have not lived in the city? Zero. Because guess what? The two World Series they lost, I was in Seattle. That's right. So, first off, you're welcome. And second, as someone who legitimately at Mass, the last thing that I would do, you know, if you're Catholic, before Mass, you kneel down on your kneelers and you pray and you pray and you pray some more. As a Catholic, the last thing that I always prayed for, world peace? No. For those less fortunate than me to do well? No. The last thing I always prayed for was a Patriots Super Bowl. And, oh, the Patriots won six Super Bowls? Oh, huh. Interesting. I feel God in this El Tiempo. I was playing God with the New England Patriots growing up. Do not smite me. I see the thunder outside. I see the lightning outside, okay? It's just a joke. It's just a joke, dude. It's just a joke, he said as he looked up at the sky. What else do we have on an Ask Alon Anything Friday? Paul, how do you feel about people who talk on the phone in public? Jail. If it's speaker,
yeah.
Jail.
Yeah.
Jail. I hate it when, Joe, I see a person with, one, the clip in their ear and they're on the Bluetooth. There's a couple of people at my gym that have very long phone conversations, and they're also exceptionally animated while they do it, and it freaks me out because I don't know if they're someone with a little mental wentals, mm-hmm. or if I have no idea what's going on. Like, are you in the middle of a public breakdown? And then like, oh no, you're just talking angrily to your wife who you don't respect.
I think that's a weird time to take a phone call. Like that's you time, Paul. You don't mean taking calls at the gym, but specifically if they're just on the phone, it's one thing, which isn't great still in public. But to have it on speaker in public is the worst.
Yeah.
100%. Paul, he wants to know if you want another one, Paul.
Oh, do I want another one? Let's wait till 2 p.m. 2 p.m. At 2 p.m. then. But yeah, I do want another one. Thank you, Luciano. Appreciate it. But I have to behave, and I can't. Oh, he's going to send a reminder. You rule.
That's the best.
See, this why this place is the best. It's not just the margaritas. The service at this one in particular is awesome. Like there's Jamie, there's Victor, there's so many people that like I dude, that's how many times I've been here.
You know
the service here. The service at this one in particular is awesome. Like they will have a good time with you. It's been a hot minute since I've been to this one, but I think it was after I was helping strike down the poultry auction committee tent at Rodeo, and they were bringing pictures of the margs out to us.
Oh, that's
and
dangerous.
I think it was Jamie. Jamie was like, "Yeah, you want this? I know you want this." And I was like, "No, I have job things to do later."
Are you going to Rodeo committee again this year?
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Why?
You seemed a little stressed last year.
I was a little stressed. Well, I was trying to make. I was trying to raise money. That was my first time doing it. I thought, and then the poultry auction committee stand up. Listen, I'm always stressed, Joe.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know this. I always have resting bitch face, and I'm overthinking everything at all times. And I really just need to take a chill pill. And you know what's been great? Having a girlfriend has helped me realize that I'm a crazy person.
You seem a little less stressed.
I'm way less stressed now. I don't have to think about that at all.
That's good.
Now I do have
to
think about
concern.
Doing cool things with the girlfriend.
Well, yes.
Shout out to Steak Girl on the Twitch. But I'm in I'm much happier. Much happier.
Are you nervous for the listener party at all?
Yeah, I am nervous that they're going to be weird to her.
Yeah.
She's going to be there. I'm not nervous about, I'm also nervous that my girlfriend's going to judge me for, no offense, some of you guys.
For sure.
Some of you guys, like, it's one thing to talk with us on the Twitch and have some fun, but, you know, in person.
They're pretty behaved in person. Most of the crazies that have been banned on Twitch aren't coming to listen for it.
I'm bringing my pocket challenge flag and my pocket penalty flag.
Oh, that is a great decision.
Just in case, because I'm going to have to throw penalty flags on people, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. By the way, speaking of penalty flags, that's what happens in a football game. You know, if you do something wrong, that's what Laremy Tunsil was known for in his time with the Texans. We wish him well with the Washington Commanders. We wish him well. So C.J. Stroud, Texans quarterback, is it a good omen for the Houston Texans that he can say all of the offensive linemen's name off the top of his head like this?
Yeah, definitely, man. It's a pop every time, you know, the ball snap. I thought, you know, it starts with Jake. You know, Jake has done a good job of IDing things. And him and Lakin are, like, the first ones to kick it off. Ed's right there. Titus is right there. Taylor, it's a group that's a lot of dogs, man. So I'm really happy that, you know, that we're able to run the ball like we have. Cause that opens up everything else.
Bump, 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 bump. Lakin, Ed, and Jake, and you got Titus and Ariante. It's like the Mamba number 5.
I mean, he knows all their names. That's good. He's got handshakes with the running backs, handshakes with the wide receivers. He knows the offensive lineman's
name. Yeah, this is a good sign. That is a good omen.
I do feel like he tipped the hand a little bit about who the starting offensive line is, though.
I agree, because I thought Cam Robinson being back, there was a chance he'd come back in, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but Ariante was out there at left tackle again. I mean, listen, I like that you can sign a guy for a one-year contract that's like $10-plus million, and the guy that you draft actually plays his way into the starting lineup, into the, you know, starting offensive line. And I say that as somebody who is at least aware of how things were with the Seattle Seahawks back in 2012. So in 2012, the Seahawks signed Matt Flynn to a rather extravagant deal. And they also drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. And Russell Wilson was awesome and beat him out in training camp for the starting quarterback gig. And the rest is history. And there was, Russell Wilson put together 8 years that were as good as just about any quarterback, especially towards the very end where he did have moments, and I watched them firsthand, where he looked like he could potentially have an argument for MVP. And then the second half of the season would start, and he'd get a little bit too crazy and trying to make too many things happen. And he's a weirdo for sure, but this stuff happens. And I think it's very encouraging that, yes, Cam Robinson might have lost his job due to injury, but it does seem like Ursary, as a rookie, does all the right things. He checks all the boxes. He's humble. He's clearly working his ass off. And finally, on paper, not on paper, finally, based off of what we're hearing, because it's really hard to gauge offensive line tape in training camp, it does seem like we finally have a Texans draft pick on the offensive line who might actually be good. So we'll see what happens. Good omen or bad omen? Anyone see this? Hear about this? Big deal. Big deal. Congratulations to Texans owner Cal McNair, who was named one of Houston Business Journal's most admired CEOs.
Oh, congratulations to Cal.
I mean, I wonder how that gets made. Did he pay someone off? Because I definitely feel that way about the Marconi Awards going forward. Who got paid off? What under the table?
Do I have to do that next year now?
You clearly need to bribe the Marconis because it's clearly.
Well, we didn't enter, to be fair.
Oh, I didn't even know it was like that. That's hilarious.
You submit your own entries to the Marconis.
Dude, what does the entry come with? Like,
they don't just like call you and be like, "You're nominated." No, we have to put together a demo reel for the station.
That's so dumb. Okay, yes. So it's literally like
you submit it. So like, not everyone submits it. It's not like the. It's not
I
like,
figured they were going from station to station,
no,
determining
no,
who's good.
No,
oh my
no.
God, this is ridiculous.
This isn't the sports Emmys that like Dan Patrick is up for every year. Like this is something that you have to submit your own demo tape for. Like you're applying for a job, essentially.
The desperate ploys people will resort to keep that station from becoming country.
Yeah, I ain't got time for that.
Wow. That makes so much sense because I'm not gonna lie, I was triggered by that. I was.
It's okay.
We all of us were a little bit.
See it, and I was like, ugh.
But anyway,
I'm going to have to submit next year.
Bringing it back to Cal. Cal is one of Houston Business Journal's most admired CEOs, which is an acronym for Chief Executive Officer. So that I like to see that. I think that's
congrats
a good omen.
Cal's
stock shooting up. Remember when he cooked the burgers for us this year too?
I mean, that's probably why he's up there.
I had to go early. I didn't get that. Also, good omen or bad omen? The Texans have new turf at NRG Stadium, and a welder accidentally dropped something while fixing the roof, and it caught fire. So there is now a scorch mark in the corner.
It's so bad.
I think it's a good omen because the Texans swarm, Texans burn.
Well, what happened last time it happened? I don't remember.
What? Has the field caught fire before?
Yeah, didn't it catch fire with fireworks in, like, the mid-2000s?
We're going to have to look that up
in the
break.
Like there was another moment where, like, it caught fire. Might be a different stadium, to be honest with you. But.
Truly, I couldn't tell you. But now I think we're going to have to look this up.
The video is very funny. I definitely thought it was fake the first time I saw it.
I certainly did as well. Goodness gracious me, oh my. Anyway, guys, it is the Paul Gallant Show. That is Joe George. 713-780-3776 to call the text. It's a Gallant and George reunion here at El Tiempo on Washington. We are 13 days away from the start of the NFL season. 13 days away. But I'm going to talk about number 12. Sorry, Dan Marino. Too many temper tantrums on TV. Like, that's what I know Dan Marino for. I know Dan Marino for throwing temper tantrums on Inside the NFL and for losing a playoff game by 60 points. Sorry, Dan. Sorry.
That's fair. You're our age. Like, that's pretty fair.
Yep. So we're skipping 13. It's a bad luck number anyway. We're 12 days away tomorrow from the start of the NFL season. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
Technically, we are 13 days away from the start of the NFL season. Technically, but screw 13. Hey, Dan Marino, win a Super Bowl, bro. Oh, you got zero?
Oh, but Paul, it wasn't his fault. I mean, come on, man. Like, the first Super Bowl he went to, he was like 5 years old, and he was playing a really good team. And you know, I mean, Don Shula got old really quickly. You know, you've been watching that Cowboys documentary, and I mean, you know, Tom Landry got old, and he was falling asleep if you watch the documentary and stuff. So, like, Don Shula was holding Peyton Manning back, whatever.
Peyton Manning, Dan Marino. Just confused them. Because they were afterthoughts when compared to number 12. Because technically, since it is past noon, coincidentally, do you know what noon is? Numerically, 12. We are actually closer to the end of the 13th day until the NFL season begins, which means 12. I mean, my goodness. I've already been watching Patriots highlights of yesteryear. I watched the Patriots Super Bowl 36 NFL Films video and Super Bowl 38 highlight video last weekend. Probably going to watch three games to glory for their 2005 Super Bowl run where they took down the Colts. I was there, and everyone started chanting, cut that meat. Or the Steelers game where they stuffed the Steelers into a locker, as they do. And then, of course, they took down the Philadelphia Eagles in a Super Bowl that I went to. Went to two of the three playoff games that year. Three Super Bowls, 4 years. Greatest dynasty in the history of sports? Some would say, because it didn't stop there. And some would say, what is dead would never die. And shout out to Tom Brady, who started it all. We are almost 12 days away from the start of the NFL season. Now, we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Micah Parsons, and we are going to do a full segment about Micah Parsons and the Cowboys at 1:45. But things are getting a little bit testy between Jerry Jones, who has done every single possible interview he can, I think, to promote the documentary on Netflix about the Cowboys. But between that and Terry McLaurin, who has yet to report for Commanders training camp and for their upcoming season after making it all the way to the NFC Championship game, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network said there's going to be some fireworks before the start of the year. We have seen some trades that involve like 6th-round picks and 7th-round picks. Somebody texted in earlier, hey, talk about the Brian Robinson trade. Brian Robinson got traded to the San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan makes all running backs look amazing, much like his father used to with the Denver Broncos back in the day. I mean, Terrell Davis was awesome, but he also had, after that, Mike Anderson, Olandis Gary, Ruben Drones. I mean, how many great Broncos running backs played under Mike Shanahan? That system worked really well. And this is going to be the same, I think, with Kyle Shanahan, even if they do have Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey gets hurt from time to time, and last season definitely a disappointing one. Brian Robinson got shot once, so that's cool. He played like right after that happened, too. So the 49ers are going to have two guys who have been shot and survived. Ricky Pearsall, their first-round pick last year, and Brian Robinson. Maybe a little street cred is going to help Kyle Shanahan not puke his pants whenever the teams he coaches have critical leads at the end of a game. Maybe. Maybe. The NFL says they are going to crack down on sportsmanship violations this year. Here is Troy Vincent saying as such in a weird video that was posted to, I guess, shame people who celebrate using gun celebrations or standing over players into not doing it again.
The things that we've seen, there's just no place in the game for it. There's no place in the game to be standing over your opponent. There's no place in the game to have violent gestures. That's not the game of football. We just have to play by the rules, respect your opponent, respect your teammates, and play the game in between the whistles.
Okay, Troy becoming this fed for the NFL is just so lame. A pig, you could say. And no, I'm not talking about the weight that he seemingly has gained. By the way, Troy Vincent looks like a linebacker now. He was a corner and a defensive back. Listen, I will call out your weight, Troy, because now you're trying to take fun away. You know what other word begins with F? That's not fun. Fat. Hey, CJ Stroud, what do you have to say about Troy Vincent? And about the celebration that he's doing. What do you think about that?
Shut up, fatty.
There we go. Nice assist, Sean. That was awesome. Troy Vincent, like, piss off, dude. And I would say the same thing for anyone who is trying to cut down on the celebrations in the NFL.
Oh, no. He didn't use a pistol. He didn't use a semi-automatic gun. He used an AR in his celebration. He needs jail time. He's promoting school shootings.
Like, can we stop? Like, it's a gun. You know, when I was a little kid, I went to a camp. It was a Bible camp. I was 5 years old. My parents didn't let me have any toy weapons at home. And you know what happened when I came back from Bible camp? I said this to my dad. You know, this camp was very Jesus-y, but I wish it was a little more weapony. I don't know really how that relates to anything other than, you know what? An air weapon is harming nobody. It's just having a little fun. Little boys do it all the time. Are we really going to act like this is a bad example for kids? Is it glorifying shooting people? I don't think so. Matt Stafford talked about his back injury after practice for the Rams yesterday and said, I definitely felt a lot like myself out there today, assuming he actually is indeed himself, given the trending hashtag Stafford is dead movement that we saw online over the course of this past week. He is not traveling to Cleveland for the Rams preseason finale, but neither are any starters for the preseason finales, you know? There were some games. The Giants smoked the Patriots 42-10. Tommy DeVito, the Italian-American cartoon of Jersey, threw for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns against my boys. Would have been nice if he ever did that at Syracuse when he played there for a little bit of time. He's stuck at Syracuse. It annoys me that there was a Tommy DeVito era, you know? There was no Aiden O'Connell era, anti-Irish-American discrimination. Jackson Dart looked good. Jameis Winston stepped in for Jackson Dart and had an awesome touchdown pass. The Giants quarterback room seemed very fun, especially with Russell Wilson not in attendance. Cam Scatabo and his big old head played. I like Cam Scatabo. I hope he has a good season with the Giants. As for the Patriots, who did not play much of their starters, they were in a bad mood after the game, as was Mike Vrabel when he was asked about a shoulder injury to Jalen Polk that supposedly is going to keep him out for the remainder of the season.
Mike, there was a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No. I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
He called them rats! He called them rats! Oh, man. You know, Vrabel versus Nashville media, and I'm sure Nashville media is polite and maybe not as hard-nosed as, like, Northeastern media, which honestly is for the better, you know? Vrabel and Boston media going back and forth is going to be so fun this season. Because Belichick just never said anything. You know, he just snort and make, like, coughing noises when he got asked tough questions. But now, Vrabel versus these Boston sports media people who are always bleep stirring, much like New Yorkers do. I think this is going to be fun. It's just going to be one of these once a week. We've got to find one of these rats. Good God, dude. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, we'll get some more of your Ask Gallant Anything Friday questions. There are a lot loaded up. Sorry, I did not get to them in the last couple of segments. Up next, is Micah Parsons done as a Dallas Cowboy? And why is Jerry Jones doing interviews with literally everyone to talk about this saga while probably trying to promote this new documentary on Netflix about the Cowboys? It's a great question we'll discuss next. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from El Tiempo Cantina on Washington as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
But you've got to put this puzzle together so that you can have some other people out there playing with Michael.
Did Micah Parsons just get called Michael Parsons again by Jerry Jones? I get it. I mean, Michael, it's kind of close. And Jerry Jones is getting up there in age, and he's got the accent, and there's always a little bit of reasonable doubt when it comes to that. But That was Jerry Jones on Fox News. He has been doing the every single form of media car wash. And while promoting this Netflix documentary about the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, he has been bringing up Micah Parsons whenever he can. Here's the latest that's going on with Micah Parsons before we get to Jerry in the media. Micah Parsons scrubbed social media, all of his social media, of any mention of the Dallas Cowboys. On X, on Instagram. His profile picture now says, Micah 7:8, even if I fall, I will rise. The Lord is my light. All caps. By the way, this is a guy who makes a lot of money to play football, who is in a contract battle as a millionaire with a billionaire. I mean, I would like to think that God is focused on more important things than a player looking for a raise when he is definitely going to get that raise somewhere. Although if the Cowboys just give him the franchise tag a couple of times, perhaps it won't also actually happen elsewhere. I'd like to think he's focused on other things, like the Houston Astros. But that's just me. So Micah puts that out there. Then Jerry Jones starts doing the rounds. He was on Michael Irvin's podcast. And on said podcast, Jura talked about how Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta, who is the number one NFL agent in 2025, said this to Jerry after he had sent over some details about a new deal.
He'd be the highest guaranteed player ever on defense, is what he's been offered. When we wanted to send the details to the agent told us to stick it up our ass. Mike and I talked, and then we were going to send it over to the agent. We had our agreements on term, amount, guarantees, everything. And the agent said, don't bother, because we've got all that to negotiate. Well, I'd already negotiated. I'd already moved off my mark on several areas. We've had the negotiation in my mind. The agent's trying to get his nose in it and try to come in there and improve off the market.
So he clarified as that quote went on, but per Jerry, David Mulugeta told Jerry to stick the details where the sun don't shine. Up their ass. That is a negotiating ploy. I'm skeptical that Mulugeta actually said that. Mulugeta said he was aware of Jones' remark, told Clarence Hill he didn't say that. I'm assuming he said the same thing to Ryan Clark. He declined to comment on the record, but you are hearing from certain people who are closer to him that there was a little bit of a conversation behind the scenes about that. Jones later clarified, saying, quote, we were going to send it over to the agent. The agent said, don't bother, because we've got all that to negotiating. More from Jerry Jones, because Jerry has been all over the place talking about this. Here is Jerry Jones talking about Micah Parsons on Fox News.
How close are you to getting a deal with him?
Mike is a great player, not a good player, but a great player. He knows more than anyone that it's a team thing. And so I know everybody's tired of hearing this, but you've got to put this puzzle together so that you can have some other people out there playing with Michael. That's the art of the deal, and that's why we're trying to get done, and we're trying to make this thing work. But we have all the appreciation in the world for what he can mean to the years ahead. We're proud to have you.
Pretty complimentary of him there, but every single time he says Micah, it sounds like he's saying Michael. I imagine that's not helping. Jerry wasn't done. He also was on Stephen A. Smith's show. I listened to this earlier. Jerry really does sound like a rambling old man at times. If you can figure out what the hell he's trying to say here, please help me, because I'm struggling myself.
In the spirit of not doing the old mother-dad deal, how many times have you seen the little rascal so clever go in there and mama told him, uh-oh, you're not going to get it? And goes in to daddy, who only sees him after 5 in the afternoon, wants to love him, and says, you can have it, son. You can have that before dinner. And he goes back in and says, Mama, Daddy said I could have it. That's the old mom, dad. Been around since the beginning of time. I'm not going to go for that here. That's what's happening.
You're not going for it?
I'm not going for it. No, no. But we've had a very, very strong negotiation. Now, by the way, frankly, it wouldn't have made any difference what the negotiation was. Guess who has to be comfortable for this to work?
Micah.
And who else?
You.
Hello. There's not room for a third. There's not room for a third. This will be a good one.
Oh, Jerry. Good God, dude. That was quite the story, but I think that talking down to your player as if he's your wayward son is probably not going to help him come back to the table. Mike Florio had a fun take on this situation between the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. Jones likely sees it as a no-lose proposition. If Parsons and Mulugeta finalize the contract Jones negotiated directly with Parsons in March, it's a win for Jones. If Parsons plays for only $24 million in 2025, when the market at his position has spiked to $41 million per year, it's a win for Jones. If Parsons doesn't play, and if the Cowboys don't have a good season, Jones can blame the struggles on Parsons' Holden and keep the Cowboys in the middle of the local and national media radar screen, thanks to the endless question of when and if Parsons will play. Hell yeah, dude. I like Florio. Florio, when Florio's got a meaty, piping hot take, he is really going to take a long drag and dive. And that's, a very good way of laying it out. Jerry's at least getting soap opera drama, which he has talked about how he wants from time to time, if he doesn't get Micah Parsons on the field for his Cowboys. We will see what happens. I feel bad for Brian Schottenheimer, his first time as a head coach. He gets asked about this. He's like, yeah, man, like, I don't know. What do you want? What do you want from me? Ryan Lost in Texas asks, on an Ask Lund Anything Friday, Paul, would you ever consider joining one of those full-contact 37-under football teams, or is it 37-up, that have been going viral in videos on Twitter, or are you like me and have a $500 ER copay? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. Yeah, my ER copay, not great. I want to play, though, because, God, I've seen these videos, and it's like I'm hearing a wolf howling in the distance, howling at the moon. Like, I feel the call to battle. Like, that was where I was happiest, was playing high school football. And, yeah, I'm pretty happy right now. Got a great girlfriend. Life's pretty good. I have a job that I'm blessed to have. I'm doing a show while drinking margaritas at an LTF butt today. Like, there's a lot of great things that I've got. But God, I want to get back out there. I don't know that I still have the same killer instinct that I did, though, when I played in high school. I don't know that I have the same belief in my own invincibility, because I've broken a couple of bones in the years since I played high school football. I broke my collarbone. I broke the wrists in both my wrists, the scaphoid bone in both, and I broke my right ring finger. Three of those injuries were from playing flag football, ironically. Never got hurt playing real football. But there is a part of me that wants to go back out there and give myself a little more brain damage again. Either just trucking somebody over the middle. Like, if you've played in flag football, every now and then, you'll get, if you've played football before, you'll get called for, like, a flag guard. And there's this, like, new tactic you're supposed to do when you play flag football instead of the NFL, or not the NFL, flag football instead of actual, you know, tackle football, where you're supposed to do this, like, weird little sachet when you're trying to split two defenders. And I don't like doing it. I just want to put my shoulder into people. I just want to stiff arm people. If I'm in a crowd and people are walking slowly, like, the urge that I have is to shove and push and barrel my shoulder into people. And I know I don't have the biggest shoulders. I'm like 183 pounds, 6 feet tall on a good day. But, yeah, to answer your question succinctly, I would love to get back out there. But I realize that if I'm doing anything, it should be flag football, because that's going to minimize my chance of getting hurt. You know? Anyway. Yes, I think about this far. These clips that are popping up, I'm like, oh, that guy's fat. I would dust his ass.
he could not cover me. Because if it's like 37 and up, I really do like my chances. Unless I'm going up against ex-pros and ex-college players. And I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of those in these leagues. Like, I feel very good about my chances on any kind of football field. But there are a lot of those, you know, who have this similar addiction. That's why I do what I do right now. Because I couldn't cut it in the NFL. But I really thought I was going to be playing in the NFL when I was 16. I was like, yeah, I just need to be the right offense and really have a coach who understands my value as a receiver slash safety slash kick returner slash gunner. Just someone needs to understand it. From the 832, Chris and Humble says, so Jerry is Micah's mama now, and it seems as though Jerry Jones has turned into Joe Biden. That's fair. For the 936, Paul has those weak-ass Yordan Alvarez hands. I do have small hands. From the 713, 2 minutes till your margarita. That is true. We are at El Tiempo. We're going to be here until 6. Killer Bees are up next. You have a chance to register. You can register for a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. This is the last visit of our summer circuit, and it's my favorite. And the restaurant, it's my favorite restaurant in town, which is a chain, I know. And the one that I have gone to the most, and there's a ton of different El Tiempo locations, including a couple of new ones that are popping up, which is very exciting. If you haven't heard about that, because there's one in NRG Stadium, found out about that today, didn't know, that's probably going to be dangerous. There's one that's opening up outside of NRG at the old Timmy Chan's. There's obviously the one in the ballpark that I go to. There's two in the ballpark. It's an awesome spot. Shout out to Mama Nifa. Anyway, up next, Rafael Stone, Rockets GM, joined John and Will Kunkel, joined Lance and Will Kunkel earlier this morning. Had some very interesting things to say. We'll respond to what the Rockets GM said and more on the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold. You already know this about St. Arnold. St. Arnold has all sorts of amazing things for you. You know this. We all know this. They've got a beer for everyone. They've got a place for everyone. If you go to their beer garden, and for private events, they've got a space for everyone. You can have your private event at St. Arnold, a wedding, a family reunion, a birthday party, a happy hour, anything. They've got you covered, whether it's a group of 20 people or 300 people. For groups smaller than 100, they've got the Investors Pub. Groups that are huge, they've got the beer hall. Audio and visual capabilities in this, each of these locations. They've got projectors. They've got screens. There's a full in-house catering menu prepared for you by the St. Arnold chef. From an appetizer table to a full-on feast to hand, they have beer for your event. It's the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world, and it's straight from the source. Wine, cider, and root beer as well. Book your event now and tell them that you'll listen to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN Houston, or that you just listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You'll get a brewery game package free for your event, which includes a dartboard, Jenga, cornhole, a pool table, and a photo booth, too. You want to go to StArnold.com, click on private events. Again, StArnold.com, click on private events. Tell them that Paul Gallant sent you or that ESPN 97.5 or 92.5 sent you by, and you're going to get that extra bonus. St. Arnold has a beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone. And for private events, they've got a space for everyone. Again, StArnold.com. Click on private events and tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.